What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 117 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And I found out something this week that I didn't know prior to this week. For whatever reason, I don't know. Life be lifin' and all that good stuff. But I found out through some interesting means that you can do what you want to do in a living color. I wasn't sure. I wasn't, you know, for whatever reason, I was stuck in this black and white rigidness or whatever. But apparently in color, you can do whatever you want.
Wow.
And I don't mean like sepia tone color. I mean like the real vibrant stuff.
Okay.
You can really, you know, be all you can be.
Kodak if you will. Moment.
Yes. Pretty awesome. No, I've been watching a lot of old television, and it's been pretty great. Interesting of what, you know, what we're going to be talking about later on today. But yeah, a lot of old television. And I have been enjoying it immensely over the new stuff. Not because the new stuff is necessarily bad. Mm-hmm. We actually were just talking about The Residents off, you know, off mic or whatever the case. And that's a really cool show.
Yeah.
It's like Clue, but like 8 episodes. Because you know how Netflix does their 8 episodes. I think it could have been shorter, actually. But it's a good show.
Could've.
Definitely a good show. We're going to talk about that a little bit more maybe in another cast. We can really break down some things because it's good.
Yep.
It's new on Netflix. Definitely go check that out. If you like the movie Clue, it's like
yeah,
that.
You like Clue.
Different.
It was Colonel Mustard in the solarium with the
right.
musket.
Right?
Miss Scarlet died.
Right. So it was really good. And but outside of that, also watching, I've been catching up on some anime, and I caught up on Solo Leveling, which was really cool, even though like 90% of that show is fighting, but whatever. It's fun. It's a hero fantasy type thing where mm-hmm. you're the main character and you're overpowered for whatever reason, and it just feels good to watch.
Mm.
Especially, you know, if you're having a bad day, it's just like, oh, the good guy is beating the crap out of everyone. Awesome. Like,
nice.
You know, not so much in terms of storytelling, but good in how it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how I think Dragon Ball used to make me feel before it just went bananas. No pun intended. So, yeah, one of the first things we wanted to talk about today is the Avengers Doomsday casting, which when I text Tess about this, she was like, why are we doing another? Another
like,
Avengers.
What Avengers? Who are they?
Yes.
How about they all died?
No, not at all. No, it's so a while back, I want to say last year or maybe the year before. A while ago, because Marvel does this thing where they show all of their phases, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the next phase or however many movies and whatnot. And the Avengers, the new Avengers was coming up, and it, you know, it was going to be Kang at one point, but then things kind of got, you know, does a whole conflufle with what's his name. And so they changed or they moved up this Avengers Doomsday. They're going to have Doom, one of my favorite villains from Marvel,
mm-hmm.
is going to be played by Ronnie Downey Jr., which is interesting considering he was Iron Man.
Yeah.
And yeah, really cool. Because if they're doing the storyline I think they're doing or potentially doing, it's going to be really cool. But that's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about, though, is actually the casting. So for those who don't know, the cast is pretty huge. And I'm a little concerned that all these people are going to have screen time. But we have the, you know, the people that we know was always going to be there. So like Captain America, a.k.a. Anthony Mackie, his version of Captain America, Chris Hemsworth as Thor. You know, we knew those people were going to be there because they've been in the every other Avengers or whatever the case may be. But this time we're going to have some new characters or new-ish characters. So the Fantastic Four, you know, their movie's going to be coming out later on this year. They're going to be in the Avengers. We're also going to have Kelsey Grammer. He's coming back as Beast from X-Men. We also have Patrick Stewart as Charles Xavier, Ian McKellen as Magneto, Alan Cumming as Nightcrawler. Like, we're getting a lot of classic,
we're getting,
you know,
the people,
the Fox variants,
yeah.
of these particular people. And you know, James is it Marsden as Cyclops?
James Marsden and Cyclops again? Cool.
And then, you know, Channing Tatum from Gambit,
Gambit.
From Deadpool versus Wolverine. and or Deadpool and Wolverine. So yeah, a big cast. We're also getting Shang-Chi. He's gonna you know, at a grand, I guess that's his real name, but yeah, there you go. I couldn't remember his the actual actor's name for a second, but yeah, they're gonna be, so all these people are gonna be in the film, and it's like, wow, this is a huge cast of people.
Yeah,
and a lot of different characters, a lot of, you know, from the Fox, you know, when Fox had the, you know, the X-Men and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We're finally getting the X-Men, and not just a cameo. At least it doesn't seem like it's just gonna be a cameo. I was super hyped when they showed Nightcrawler. I was like, yes, because X-Men or X2 was like...
X2 was the movie.
It was the movie. Like, the others weren't great at all.
Every other X-Men movie is trash.
Yeah. Well, I like First Class. Not going to hold you.
First
I like
First
Class.
Okay.
I like First Class.
First Class is...
But yeah, X2 is the movie.
X2 is the movie.
Anybody from X2, I'm trying to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was really excited about that. I do... understand why people have some qualms in terms of the cast, because it's a big cast, and I didn't name everybody. I didn't name everybody, and people are like, you know, is this going to be a 3-hour-long movie? How are they all going to gel? And my thinking
they're all like 6,000 years older than they used to be,
right? What I'm thinking is what's going to happen is, outside of a few cameos, that we're going to have a multiversal aspect that allows them to be introduced into the MCU as a whole. So like, we need mutants to be in the MCU. We don't know how to do that without being weird, in a sense of like, while all this stuff is going on, why weren't there any mutants type stuff? You know what I mean? Why wasn't Wolverine always around or whatever? And so having it in multiple dimensions is like, oh, now you guys can come here and actually be with all these other people. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to that. But then I'm also looking forward to just having these characters be around these other characters. Those are like years before, you know, the MCU was a thing. That was one of my biggest, you know, I guess pet peeves, was that we had all these people. A lot of these people are in New York. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But they never bump into each other. They
So many characters. And it's like, I've bumped into people in New York that I had no business bumping into.
Right.
It makes no sense. It makes it the biggest city in the world. And it's like, why am I running into you?
Right, exactly. There's no way you didn't hear Spider-Man or see Spider-Man as Iron Man. Like, what? Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. And so, and now I understand, while I'm excited about it, I understand why people won't be, considering that all the information you would kind of have to know to kind of go into these movies, they're not going to explain to everybody for you, I don't think. And the interchanging of characters can kind of be overwhelming at times.
It can.
My thought with that, though, is though I want them to be in the film together, I want it to be a good film still. Like, I don't want them to just show up and, oh, look, a cameo. Oh, look, that's that guy. And, oh, that's her. Yes. You know, I want it to be a good film, and I want it to be, you know, worthy of them all being on the same screen. Like, as hype as I was to see Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all in the same film for the first time ever, it wasn't what I wanted it to be. Like, it just wasn't it. It wasn't totally bad, but it wasn't very good either. And so having the X-Men with, you know, Captain America and all that, I want it to be good. I want it to be well-written. I have faith in the directors, because they did the previous Avengers, and I'm excited, but I get why people are kind of like leery about it. I do understand. It's been 100 million films, because we're not just talking MCU. They're pulling from Fox, and so that's, I don't even know how many. There's so many X-Men films now. There's,
God, they were so bad.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's
sorry.
It's a lot to kind of cover, and if you're, you know, if you haven't been, you know, keeping up with it, they're not going to understand. Or even if you have been keeping up with it, you might just be tired of superheroes at this point, you know. But I'm eager. I'm eager to check it out.
Yeah.
To see what's going on and see the mutants and how they kind of, you know, work in this world, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I want to know how they are going to bring about the X gene and whatnot. I remember a few years ago, the theory was that whatever happened with the Eternals is what started the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Eternals doing weird shit. And they're like, we don't involve ourselves with human crises. And it was like, yeah, but you guys pressed on a button that had a MacGuffin do this thing, and then Homeboy flew into the sun, and but before he did that, shot death rays out of his eyes, which some, I don't know, slimy, mechanically looking things, whatever those things were. I don't know what they were, those cat-looking alien thingamajiggers.
Oh, the deviants, yeah.
Yeah, those things. Yeah, they did something, and then their ash turned to dust, and somebody breathed it in, and boom, then that was like the progenitor of mutants or some shit. Who knows?
I mean, it's not far-fetched in a sense, considering how things happen in comics, you know? And especially considering that the deviants were essentially mutants of their race.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And because MCU is its own thing, that can totally be a thing.
Totes.
But then the fact that they're coming in already as their characters, like Beast is already Beast. He's not like young Beast or whatever.
He's not figuring it out.
Right. So it's like, it's like, where did you come from?
And they're like, seasoned. They're also like 8,000 years old. Like, I'm like, Alan Cumming 65. Like, come on, Ian McKellen is legit 98 years old. Like,
yeah, you know. So it's like, huh? All right, I see.
Yeah,
it's that. I'm so excited. Like, I'm excited, and you know, I'm cautious, and especially considering that we don't know the state of. There's a bunch of characters that they didn't announce. That doesn't mean that this is the full cast, but it's just there's a bunch of characters they didn't announce. And there's already been shaky stuff with like Blade. Like, I want to say there's the rumors that Marvel's canceling the film, which I'm a little saddened by.
That doesn't make sense.
Like Blade.
Blade has its own cult following. Blade is like, has a Twilight following.
Yes. And it's not trash like Twilight. I'm sorry.
Like Twilight. No, Twilight's trash. You named your daughter after the look. Best line.
Fam, I couldn't get through the first film.
You shouldn't.
I tried. I don't know. Apparently it gets better at like film 5 or something.
Seven. I don't know.
I don't.
I saw all of them, unfortunately.
Why? Did you? So this is the thing. Well, because we had talked, I know like a few podcasts ago, you were like, you would watch something like almost in spite of yourself. Was that what that was? Or was it like a, you know what? It's bound to get better.
No, it was bullying.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I was forced into this by friends that I will not name, one of which has been on our cast. I was a supportive friend for Twilight. And then I forgot how it goes. Twilight, New Moon, Breaking Wind, Dawn-ish.
Breaking Wind.
That literally is a movie. That's the parody movie.
Oh, goodness.
But I don't remember the order of the movies. But, you know, there was that. I had to watch that with them because they were pressed. And then I went to the premiere at the National Harbor and won some prizes because I pretended to turn into a werewolf.
Oh, wow.
A lot of fun. I feel like that's
going to be a good story one day.
Maybe. But the point is that I only was involved in this because I was forced into this by friends who were like, it's so good. And I'm like, no, it's not. And on any level, like even young adult fiction, like we were young adults before and we read young adult fiction and we're like, you know, there were things that were like, oh my God, this is so good. And then sometimes when we're adults, we can go back and we can read some young adult fiction because it's so easy to read. It's just a lot easier and it's just simpler and doesn't have a... Anyway, but I'm like, this really is not good. Like, it doesn't remind me of being like a teenager and watching stuff that like isn't... But I'm looking at them as grown women. I'm like, why are you... I need to know why you're obsessed with this. I just need to understand it.
What makes it good? Like, it's obviously subjective, right? But like, I know, like, if I go see Fast and Furious, this is not a good movie.
We know
this
it's not good.
It's dumb, but I'm having a good, dumb time. Like, popcorn film. Like, this is what this is made. And everyone is aware. Like, everyone, the cast knows what this is. They flew a car into space. You know what I mean? Like, everyone knows this is silly, and we're just here to have a good, silly time. But people were taking Twilight very seriously.
Oh, they take it seriously. They're twihards.
Yeah, that, twihards. I didn't know that was a word. I didn't even know that was
Yeah, it's a word.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Look, what's her face? I forgot her name. She made her entire career off of making fun of Twilight video. It's so good. The girl who does these Jasper, because I was team Jasper, because I love that guy. I was team Jasper. When my friends were making t-shirts, it was team Jacob or team what's his face,
the vampire? I don't know,
whatever, team vampire or team Jacob, know. Right. I was like, okay, you guys can pick werewolf, vampire, I'm team Jasper. Yeah. Like, that's it. I love him. I love team Jasper. Yes, the racist one, who more than likely, because he was a Confederate soldier, I never understood half the, like, the I, whatever.
Oh, wait, was it Edward? Team Edward?
Oh, Edward, yeah. So team Edward or team Jacob.
Yeah, and Robert Pattinson. He's a good actor.
I love Robert Pattinson. That series. Yeah, beyond that, like, things that he's done after that, I was like, yo, this poor boy's career was being held back because he was doing that nonsense. Honestly, seriously, same thing with Kristen Stewart. Like, she did a great job in Spencer. Like, she's not necessarily, like, the best, but, like, I think that when she really, really, really allows herself to, I think she has to truly identify with her character. If she doesn't identify with the character, she can't. She's
right.
Bella's a trash character. Okay.
She's not the greatest.
She's a trash character. So, I mean, watching Kristen Stewart and Spencer was just like, yo, the girl's got talent. Watching her, what, Panic Room? That was the first movie I remember seeing her in. And I'm like, anyway, moving along from talented, people are actually talented. No, it is bad.
Yeah. Speaking of talent, though, I feel like this is a full circle moment in a sense, because we know that. So one of the people who wasn't on the Avengers list was Halle Berry as Storm. And while I know she's talented, I've seen her act really, really well.
Yeah.
I don't think her Storm is all that great at all.
Never.
And it has one of the worst lines in comic book history.
Do you know what happens to a Thor when it gets struck by lightning?
I was so ready for something to be, for that to be clever. Like something, the punchline, I was ready for.
Like, it dies.
And she was like, but it gets electrocuted like everything else. And I was like, oh, that.
Who wrote this?
Really?
Like, that's. Who wrote this?
This is not even an 80s one-liner.
No.
Like a silly Arnold Schwarzenegger pun in The Running Man. Like, that would have been better. But no, this was just, anyways, yes, very talented in a not so great showing because of writing and et cetera, et cetera. So she wasn't there.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to whoever they announce as the new Thor, because Storm, because I know that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
If she doesn't come back, I know that's gonna happen. And there's rumors about who that could potentially be. Same thing with Rogue, whenever they show Rogue again.
Please give us a new Rogue.
New actress. Yes, we need a new one. And she needs to fly.
She needs all that stuff. She needs all of her power. She needs to not be this ridiculous, oh, by the way, I don't know who Miss Marvel is. Or I don't know who Captain Marvel is.
See, we can do this now because we're in the MCU, so we can actually have her run into Miss Marvel. See, that's how you do it. The next thing we wanted to talk about real quick was Game Informer returning. This is a big deal because there was a bunch of layoffs prior to this big event because they were owned by GameStop, and
we know what happened there.
GameStop is not the greatest, and they were trying to do their own thing. They were trying to go a little bit more independent. They had released a version of their magazine that was separate of GameStop. So you didn't have to go to GameStop to get it. All the money would go back to them. And right after that, it was like GameStop was like, we're closing this down. But they did it in such a horrible way. People who were laid off found out that they were laid off on Twitter.
It was terrible.
They couldn't log into stuff. The accounts were shut down. I think their Twitter account just had like this ChatGPT message or whatever.
Oh my goodness.
All of their stuff that was archived, like years and years and years of writing on their website, was potentially gone. All you saw was like a little, like if you go to Game Informer, all you saw was like a "we're no longer here" type stuff. And so they were able to
remember that.
Yeah, they were able to come back now because of, I want to say, Godzilla Games.
Okay.
Is a game developer based in Europe, and they were able to purchase the magazine, and the editor-in-chief was saying that even though this is, you know, this is not something you would normally see, you wouldn't see you wouldn't see a video game company buying a publication like this. But they were saying that the company recognizes the important work that they do, and so they were willing to fund them and keep them 100% independent. And so there would be no say on what they can write about, you know, editorialize, which
nice.
Is good.
Yeah.
And not only that, everybody who was laid off on this last, you know, when they shut down Game Informer, was brought back. Not only were they brought back, they were given raises.
Oh, nice.
And they were given promotions. And so this is a really, you know, really good news. There is some interesting tidbits, and I'm not going to harp on them too much because I want this to stay a positive thing. But in terms of what GameZilla Games is and what they've kind of dabble into, I know some people kind of were taken aback, especially considering that there is a video game developer owning basically a magazine that criticizes video games. But then they also are, you know, that in and of itself is a, you know, kind of a, you know, eyebrow raising, whatever. But then there's also the fact that I want to say that they dabble into like, you know, Bitcoin and like, not Bitcoin, but what is
just it? Just crypto in general?
Not crypto, but the
Doge?
No, it's not. So it's not the that type of stuff. It's like the NFTs and the, what is it called? There's an equivalent where like they're, a lot of developers, not a lot, but some of them were trying to get into this idea of like you can own aspects of a game. So like you would play Fortnite and you would get a gun and then like you could own that gun and take that to another game. It's like this weird blockchain thing or whatever. I know a lot more than I'm letting on right now. It's just that I don't want to harp on it too much, but it's something that would give people pause depending on how much you know about NFTs and how that kind of works. And so I know a lot of people were kind of like, I don't know about that, especially people in, you know, journalists and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm also happy that they're able to work, they're able to write, their website is back up, they're slowly building up their arc. Like there's a couple of reviews here or there that are, they don't have the original names yet. They're still putting those back in, and they were also able to catch up. So like the months that they were down, they were able to catch up and write about all the stuff that they missed. So like there's reviews for stuff that, you know, I think it came back on the 25th of this month. And so a bunch of those games that had come out and was, you know, winning Game of the Year and all this other stuff, they actually got to put their two cents in, which
that's
I thought
so
was
nice.
Also pretty dope. So happy, you know.
Happy for them.
Happy news, you know, on in this side of gaming. And because you really don't get those too much. You know what I mean? Maybe, you know, months from now, we'll dive into, you know, Godzilla as a whole. But for right now, we're going to end it on a good note. Shout out to the folks over at Game Informer. And the idea of this, them being independent, is such a good thing. It's just a really, really good thing. They're going to be announcing how you can subscribe to the version of their magazine. And I want to say in a couple of weeks, but what you can do is you can go onto their website and sign up for an account. If you don't have one, I want to say you have to sign up for a new account now since they got the site back. And they'll give you information about that when it gets closer to time.
Got it.
But it's one of those things where, like, I'm definitely going to support because I don't want them to close again. I think Game Informer has been around
a long time.
Since the early 90s, maybe 80s. Like, it's been a while, you know?
Yeah.
And so and they're one of the only magazines that still has a magazine.
It has a magazine. It literally like, those things were really helpful when you needed game guides.
Yeah. Like tips and you know, I really love their, when they do like these big spreads where they cover a video game, like the cover of the magazine is that game. A lot of dope art. And then they have this huge spread where they break down all these different things about the games behind the scenes and stuff like that. You really learn a lot reading their books. They really inform you, no pun intended.
I know.
So shout out to Game Informer and their staff. Salute to y'all.
Yeah, good job.
The next thing we want to talk about is Netflix live-action Scooby-Doo origin series. This is an interesting thing because you would think this would be on the WB's Max, right? Like, you would think that they would put that on their app. But for whatever reason, Netflix has greenlit a Scooby-Doo series, live-action. I think the first ever live-action Scooby-Doo series. They've had live-action films.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Like I said, for several reasons, I like the idea that it's going to be a prequel where you kind of see how the gang gets together. Apparently, Shaggy and Daphne are friends. They're at summer camp, and Velma is there. Something bad happens. Fred is the new guy, and they have to try to figure out, you know, there's a mystery concerning Scooby. He's like he's a puppy version of himself, and that kind of spirals into a murder mystery, et cetera, et cetera. And so it kind of has this, what's that, the name of that series on Netflix that is basically like the Archie series, but like serious? Crap. What is it called? I got to look it up now.
I don't know.
Archie series Netflix. It's not the Archies. I cannot find it. All right, in the comments, you guys know. Let me know what the name is. Riverdale. There you go. Good grief.
Oh.
Essentially, Riverdale is like, it's Archie, but like dark, essentially. Like, you have all of the normal Archie silliness, but then you also have like adult themes and adult situations and potentially murders and all that good stuff. So I don't think it's going to go to that extent, but it's supposed to be a little bit more Riverdale-esque, if you will. Which is interesting. It's interesting, you know? I'm just confused on why this is happening with Netflix as opposed to Max. Especially considering that Warner Brothers... Well, I guess this is kind of in line with what they've been doing as of late, where they're licensing some of their stuff over to Netflix. I don't know. Feel like Discovery is going to... I feel like Discovery is going to slowly... Or is... hyping up a sale, like behind the scenes.
Yes.
I feel like they're going to be like, you know what? Just take these properties, Netflix.
They're going to Martha Stewart it. They just break up Martha Stewart's company and sell it for parts. Like,
that's what I feel like, because more and more of the WB's stuff is coming over there. And in a time where Max isn't doing the best, or at least they're doing better now. Considering that they did the bundle, right? But it wasn't doing well for a long time, even with Discovery's extra content.
Which is crazy, because maybe you guys shouldn't have changed your name from HBO.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird moves with Discovery taking over. I don't understand that.
Discovery's the worst.
I don't, like, it's a legacy thing. Like, when people think of HBO, they think of quality.
Yeah.
Like, that is the first thing you think, like, whatever show you might... adhere to HBO, whatever, because, you know, they also showed, like, they back in the day, they had boxing matches, live boxing matches, they had you know, hit movies, you know, before they went to, you know, VHS or whatever the case may be. Like, it was the one spot you would go to for quality, and now not so much, you know, or at the very least they have quality shows, but they also have some stuff that's not all that great. So the idea that you would change the legacy is a weird move, because it has so much meaning to people who subscribe. You know what I mean? Like, people who, whatever. And maybe times are changing. Maybe I'm old and I don't know what's happening. I'm not losing millions of dollars every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is a weird move for me. That Scooby-Doo is getting a its first live action show, not
television show.
Max.
Yeah. I thought that was weird. I'm like, you just got a cartoon. You just got the Velma series on Max.
Yeah.
When was that? Last year? Or the year?
I think the last... Well, it got canceled last year after the second season.
Yeah. I'm like, it was there. So why... Yeah, I don't...
And I get the idea of, like, you know what? If Netflix, like, fronts the bill, right, we could still get some money from this, and we didn't have to invest as much. So I do understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like you want people to subscribe to you. Because, like, Netflix isn't a part of that bundle that we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. It's Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make more sense to be like, hey, let's put this on Hulu. And look, here's another reason to have the bundle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a you know, go team type situation versus your biggest rival. Your biggest rival is Netflix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's just a weird thing. But Discovery's been doing, you know, Discovery / Warner's been doing a lot of weird stuff. Another thing that we saw was them taking all of the Looney Tunes, well, majority of the Looney Tune content from Max recently. The only thing that they have left there is some of the newer shows, like the you know, Looney Tunes in College that I was talking about before. That's still there. But a lot of the classics are gone. And then not only that, Warner Brothers is looking to essentially demolish the old Looney Tunes building. Now, I'm torn on this because I'm like, this isn't the original building. The original building, I want to say, was torn down in the 40s. They rebuilt, they built a new one. And this is where they would go to animate. I understand if this is something where they're consolidating studios, because they did this with Cartoon Network. Cartoon Network is no longer, has its own building. They've pushed that over with the other animation. I don't know if everyone kept their jobs or not, you know, how they feel about redundancies and all that BS. But it was.
Meanwhile,
it wasn't,
we have 3,000 different versions of 90 Day Fiancé.
Right. Well, I meant on the back end. But, like, even then, it was like Cartoon Network is still a thing. It just doesn't have its own building somewhere. So if that's the case, cool. But with them taking content off of Max, Looney Tunes content, the fact that they, you know, aren't releasing Looney Tunes films, like the Wile E. Coyote film, the fact that they didn't want to actually have the recent Looney Tunes film, you know, in theaters, if it wasn't for Catch Up Entertainment, it wouldn't have gone to theaters you know, over here. So it's like a lot of signs point to they're getting rid of Looney Tunes, they're selling the IP, or they're vaulting the IP, which would, I don't know which is worse. I think vaulting is worse, because if you vault it, we don't get any of it. Like, and what I mean by that is, you can't, if you don't have the old DVD or the DVD box sets of Looney Tunes, there's no way to watch them now.
Mm.
They're just gone. And that's unfortunate.
They're just at the Library of Congress.
Yeah, it's history, you know?
Yeah.
And it's another thing we were talking about, it being weird, was the fact that you're losing some padding. Most people statistically watch older content on these streamers.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of padding. Even if the numbers aren't crazy,
yeah,
there's still something for someone to watch in between a new series like coming out. I think that's one of the things that Apple is struggling with, because Apple is, well, for one, Apple doesn't advertise well at all. But
yeah, they're terrible. Nobody even knows they exist.
Yeah, very bad. But their original shows are really, really good, like Severance. And so, but they don't have a lot of padding to kind of keep you there outside of a Severance, new season of Severance. But they're trying. It's the one reason why they have the Charlie Brown shows, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, Halloween special. They're the only place you can watch that. Because that was a yearly thing that would come on TV and you would watch. Those are the only places you can watch it, because they recognize that the strength of this IP. Like, I watched this when I was a kid. I want to show my kids, et cetera, et cetera. So why would you get rid of the padding? Like does it cost more money to house this on the streamer?
I'm assuming that is what it is.
This is a weird thing. Someone needs to explain this. Explain this to me
in the comments below. Away. Please explain.
Yes. Like, why is Warner Brothers doing this? Discovery. Why is Discovery doing it? I believe Discovery. It's a Discovery thing. Why are you guys doing this? I would like to know.
Their Project 2025 in it.
Oh, God.
Just destroying it from the inside.
It feels like it. It feels like it. Maybe they're going to sell it to themselves like Elon did. Twitter. That's such a
like, what? I'm sorry, I saw a headline today. And a lot of times I see headlines and I'm like,
yeah.
No.
Like,
no.
I feel like there's some weird way of money laundering, but I can't prove it. Like, I'm not smart enough to know what is happening here.
I don't even.
But it just doesn't seem
kosher. Like,
yeah, you're selling your company to another one of your companies.
Yeah.
And you, is that a profit? Like, how does that work?
Somebody might correct me if I'm wrong, but some years ago, there was a property, a mall that closed and then it got bought. And then they bought it, but then they're like, yeah, it's not, we don't have any money. And then they foreclosed. And then, which I thought this was illegal, they foreclosed, the price drops, and then they just bought it again.
like, how does that? It's a weird. I mean, if it's a loophole, I mean, do your thing. But like, I don't understand. I just don't understand.
I don't either. I don't.
So, you know, hopefully Looney Tunes will be around somewhere. Somewhere you can watch. If you don't own the DVDs, you should go get those. If you care about Looney Tunes, I do know that to an extent that they're archived. So. They're not going anywhere. You just won't be able to watch them.
You won't be able to watch them,
which is terrible. The next thing we wanted to talk about was the new game, which is in early access. I think it's Inzoi.
Inzoi
is how you say it.
Yeah, Inzoi.
Which is like The Sims, but like really, really comprehensive in how you do things. It isn't just being on like a imaginary block. You do stuff in your house and occasionally you go to your job and you know there's a load screen and you're at your job and you're there. Or was it when they had the college edition where you went to college for a little bit? It's more so a living simulator in the fact that you actually leave your house and you can walk down the block, you can go to a street, to a store on the street corner. You can learn how to play music. You can take up odd jobs. You can take up a full-time job. You can make music. You can make art. You can do a whole lot of like pseudo living in this game. Mm-hmm. And it's like on one side, it's impressive. And then on the other side, it's shallow in a weird way.
Uh-huh.
Now, granted, I haven't played it. I've only been watching videos. I watched a couple of reviews of like the current state of it because like I said, they're not done.
Yeah.
And I saw some people play and explain and, you know, talk about some stuff. I watched some videos about the features that they are implementing, like the ability to customize your character to a great extent, which I think is really, really dope.
Extremely detailed.
The personality aspect of it and how that works when you go to talk to people and whatnot and how you can just mingle and talk to anybody. Those aspects are really cool. But at the same time, even though you can do those things and not just like tell your Zoi to go do something, you actually interact. So like it'll be like a little mini game of you doing something outside of small things. Like for instance, if you want to learn how to play the guitar, you'll press the button, your character will play the guitar, and a little like loading thing will pop up with like a level one. And then as it load, it goes all the way, or experience bar, I should say. And as it goes all the way around, you'll get to level two and then he'll start to play the guitar a little bit better. And then, so you can kind of keep going, you know, as much as you want. And so you're not actively playing, but your character's playing versus The Sims where you just tell it to do something. It just kind of automates, you know what I mean? So that's really cool. But on the flip side, it also feels very, there's no real personality for Zoi, which I find interesting because The Sims, as much as it is a life sim, hence the title, it's very much a quirky thing. Like they have their own language that they keep up with, and there's whole Sim songs in their language. Right. There's quirky ways of them changing their clothes, them spinning around and, you know, their clothes are changed, or like how they get into fights and there's like this big puff of smoke. And
Right. So much fun.
There's a lot of personality there that I don't really see in Zoe. It feels very static. Like, yeah, you go and you do things, you move, but everyone's kind of feels the same. Everyone does everything the same, and there's no expression in the things that you do. Mm-hmm. And that, plus the fact that a lot of the it's not a MMO in the sense of all these people aren't other people. These are just,
yeah, there's just your people.
They're NPCs, right?
Yeah.
And so it feels lifeless because there's no personality.
Yeah. And,
you know what I mean? Like, there's personality in the sense of like, you can say that this character likes a thing, like you are determined, or you are, you know, an entrepreneur, or you are blah, blah, but there's no personality in like how this person talks versus how this person talks, or how they, mm-hmm. this person is animated versus this person. Or there's no unifying voice for the Zoe either. And so it feels hollow in a way. And granted, like I said, I haven't played it, but just my observations, it's like, it feels, it's almost like looking at a painting and it's like of a nice scene, but there's no life in the people's faces. Like they're not really, it looks like they're not really happy. It's a bright, colorful scene, but something is off for whatever reason.
It's okay. What you're making this sound like is like, these people aren't happy. What if they're real people trapped in this simulation? I feel sorry for them. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They're stuck. They are literally stuck. It's like that episode of Black Mirror where the lady was stuck inside the bear.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And speaking of Black Mirror, but the lifelessness of it. I feel like one thing that Inzoi was really, really, really harping on for months was, you know, the graphics.
Yes.
Just, you know, using Unreal Engine, and it just looked so cool.
Yeah.
And the only thing is that it's not, I don't know, they haven't had enough time. I'm sure they've got money, but they haven't had enough time. The Sims has had 25 years.
Yeah.
And as broken as The Sims is, because it is very broken, it does have a lot of content. It has a lot of gameplay that is, I'm still a new player, so I'm learning. If you just leave your Sims alone, they just do crazy things. They just do stuff that you're like, what? I didn't tell you could do any of these things. They just do stuff according to, it's not even just according to the personality you thought you made for them when you made them. Like, they do weird, they do stuff.
Yeah.
They do things, and then you find out that they did things when you weren't around. And so I don't think that Inzoi has had that injection yet. You know, they haven't. I feel like a good way to explain it is just game theory in general.
Yeah.
Anything and everything can happen.
Yeah.
But you have to design those parameters.
Yeah.
And so if your parameters are this instead of this, they're going to operate in this teeny, teeny wheelhouse. And it makes it feel bland, and it makes it feel unlifelike, because the code, well, all the time was spent on making it look beautiful. It's like watching a movie with the volume turned off because you know it was crap.
it's like it feels like too, like they looked at The Sims, because that's obviously their biggest competitor. Competitor would be, they looked at The Sims, they're like, let me see what all the things The Sims don't do currently, and let's put that in this game.
Yeah.
Which can be a selling point. Like,
it,
you can do this,
it is
that The Sims can't do, but at the same time, miss what makes The Sims a good game.
Yeah.
And that is the personable stuff. Like, even though it's your Sim, your made up character and everything, they interact with them in a fashion that's different from other Sim like games.
Yeah.
Like, Maxis made games that are very much a Maxis product. Like, you can tell that they had their hand in this in some form or fashion. Whereas Inzoi, I'm not getting anything outside of the fact that you are proficient in coding. I'm not getting any type of mind you, this is still early access. I want to keep saying that.
Yes.
And that this is a start. So
yeah,
that all that stuff can come later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just currently, it doesn't feel like that. It's like we can, you know, you can do all this stuff. You can walk around this neighborhood and don't have to load. And when you go into stores and stuff like that, but it's like, what would make me want to go into that store? What would make me want to go? Because after a while, the novelty goes away.
Yeah. That is what, like, one of the creators did. Yeah. Not creator. One of the guy. Actually, he's very, very well known in the sim community. He does sim videos, and he did that Inzoi video where he showed how his Zoi was just chilling and still acting normal after 36 Inzoi hours with no food, no rest, no nothing. Whereas in Sims, you have to cheat that. Like, I'm cheating right now. No, not right now, because we're recording. But like, my Sim is going to school. She's going to college and is doing really, really poorly because I wasn't paying attention that she had homework. It's been a really long time since I had a kid and like raised a kid. She's not a kid. She's an adult. But I had the same problem happen with my first child that I had where I didn't know how to get her to do her homework. Like, I didn't know any of those things. And, you know, they go to school, they go to elementary school, they come home and they have homework to do. And like, she literally barely made it through school, even though she was a genius. Because I don't know how to play. And I'm going through this with my girl who got accepted into Brightchester. And she's doing it from home, though. She didn't move to Brightchester. She didn't move on campus. And so she's, you know, doing this. And I'm doing a play test. I'm doing a test run anyway. Side note, guys, I'm doing a test run with the Sims that I'm using right now because I'm kind of creating them so that I can put them in my gallery and then put them in another save. and so they're kind of, I'm just doing things with them. And like, oh, I couldn't do this. So, you know, she had to pay her way through college. She's a stripper. And so she, but she owns the club now. Oh, I just want to let you know that she went through it, and the old owner, he wasn't shit, and he was treating the girls badly and taking their money. And mind you, I'm making this up because you can't actually play this in the game. I've created this backstory, but you know, she had a rough life, her and her siblings and everything, and you know, now she owns the club, and so she's sitting there trying to run a successful strip club, and which is great. And I don't have any bouncers impregnating my strippers like, you know, the other woman who was talking about on TikTok, which is still the best story I've ever heard.
Oh man.
But my point is, she's going to college, and because she wants to be a lawyer. That was the whole thing. She never thought she'd be able to go to college because she didn't have money.
She's diversifying her portfolio. She's
diversifying her portfolio. She's trying to figure out, and she's always fought for the little guy. She was fighting for the girls and trying to make sure they were getting their money, and done took this club right out from under this man, and then sold the club and then bought a new club. Okay. Like, she is just doing it with the help of her friends, with the help of her younger sisters, her younger twin sisters who also dance at the club, and her friend who's a model who wants nothing to do with dancing at the club. And keep trying to keep her boyfriend out of the club because he does show up. And it's like, that's can you call your man and find out where he is at 2 a.m? Because my point in saying all of this, side note digressing, is that Sims is crazy.
Yeah.
It's got a lot. There's a lot going on there. There's just lots of content, lots of modders, obviously. But with Inzoi, I don't know if it will ever, maybe it will, you know, who knows? It could get there. Like, their whole thing right now is releasing it for $40 and all of the updates will be free while it's in early access. We don't know how long early access is. We don't know if that means like 2 months. We don't know if that means 12 months. We don't know.
or years. They don't know. Yeah,
they didn't tell us. So yeah. they're like, you get them for free if you buy now. It's like, cool. And I mean, I think that we all know that it has the potential to be a great game,
right?
If they are able to add in what makes a life simulator fun. Otherwise, it's just an open world-ish style game where you don't do anything.
Yeah,
where you walk around and you keep running into what's the guy's name? Brian. Dustin.
Yeah, it's because they've done this before. I want to say there was a couple of games on, like there was a PlayStation had a game like this, mm-hmm. where it was like a life simulator that mm-hmm. it's the novelty wears off. You know, when you're doing things that are just mundane,
yeah,
and there's no, because like I think of games like Animal Crossing, mm-hmm. and Animal Crossing, you're basically just like you're building things and you know, farming, but not really.
Yeah.
You're collecting things and it's very minimal in terms of, you know, gameplay. Like you're playing and you're collecting, you know, like you'll go fishing and get fish, or you'll clip butterflies, and you can, you know, make your house how you want it to look like on the inside and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think what draw people in, outside of the fact that you are as customizable, is it has a unique voice. Like the fact that the people that come to your island are animals.
Yeah.
And how you go about achieving certain milestones in the game is based on how many people you have there, if they're happy or not. You know, you're supplying certain things for the island. Well, in the latest one, the island. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, now you can have a beach party because you learn how to do a bonfire and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and it's just a silly thing and this cartoony thing. And you're doing mundane tasks.
Yeah.
It's not the tasks themselves. It's everything around the task.
Yeah.
And I think that Inzoi is just a listing of tasks.
Yeah. Like,
there was a clip that I saw of, like I said, the guy trying to learn how to, you know, make music.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting at his computer and it was like, you know, you heard the sounds of the music. And he was like, you know, typing away. And it looks like, if you look at his screen, it looked like his version of Fruity Loops. And it was like, okay, I've leveled up and now you can sell the music. You can sell mm-hmm. the music to you know, these NPCs and you can get better at it and actually become a music, you know, star or whatever the case may be. But the idea of not actually making the music makes this feel more of a click and forget it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it's a slow process with a experience bar.
Mm.
That gets you over to a place where you can click a button to say, I want to sell this music. I can name mm-hmm. it and all this other stuff, right? Whereas The Sims, let's say you wanted to work out. You go to work out and like they're running on the treadmill and something wacky happens. They fall off the treadmill or whatever the case. Treadmill. And it's all this silly stuff that happens. But then when they're done, it's like you look at their stats like bling, and then they flex because they're big. You know, it's like there's a cartoony animated.
It's a cartoony thing.
Yeah, it's a thing that makes you, it's personable. You know, whereas like if I wanted to make music and be as bland as possible, then I would just go do that in real life.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
You don't actually get to move the notes, you know? And again, I don't want to, like, if you're having a good time with it, I don't want mm-hmm. anybody to feel like we're trashing the game.
No.
It's just the idea of it. It just feels like the bones of something. It doesn't feel like the, you know, where it needs to be just yet.
Yeah, I think they're, I really do hope that they are able to get there, you know, quickly. It's at the end of the day, it's just, it is a lot. And I don't know if it's one of those things where it's like, hey, we need to launch game now so we can get some revenue.
Potentially.
You know?
Because early access helps in the aspect of, we've used up all our money. So we need more money to continue to develop this, but then also we can also get feedback. So this thing doesn't work the way you thought it would work, or you don't like it, like most of our players don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool, we can change it. What do you think this should be? And you know, in a responsible manner. Like, you're not gonna listen to everybody because people don't know what they want, to be honest. But if a lot of your fans are like, we would like, I don't know, black hair in a game, speaking to you, EA, then maybe you should do that, considering a lot of your creators are black. Speaking of which, There was a thing recently with Inzoi where I guess they were doing like a creator thing where they would, mm-hmm. you know, showcase the game through these certain creators. Mm-hmm. And there was very few, if any, black or brown people there. And this seems to keep happening, especially with The Sims. Granted, The Sims had that live show that they did actually have black people. So great.
They did. They had Ebonics.
Yeah, like, get so that there. Was great. But, like, they keep kind of doing this. Like, not they, but, like, Twitch and whatever game doesn't pick these particular whatever. And the creators are pretty large that have been playing this game and have been, you know, championing the game and were given code even to actually play the game early. But when it came down to the time where they can actually market themselves along with the game, other people were chosen. And it was, like, not that anyone's entitled and there's no shade on the people who were chosen, but it's like mm-hmm. no black person, like you had no room for any black people to show your right. game. And yeah. we know what black people can do in this space. I mean, we saw how the a lot of the black mods, like for black hair and yeah. texture and all that stuff, was made by a black woman. And yeah. that was, you know, actually eventually added to the game by EA, like
yeah you know they what had I mean? To so,
yeah, because it was
they're
so
like,
freaking
oh, baby
popular.
Hair. Wow. They're like,
it was
people
so
really
popular.
Want this.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, we've seen what people can do in this space. And so the idea that, yep. like, that you wouldn't pick them for the next yeah. Sims, I'm doing air quotes,
yeah,
doesn't seem to make any sense. So, yeah, I'm throwing that out there. You know, beyond being critical of just the game itself, mm-hmm. yeah, the optics don't look too good.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That is what, but, yeah, I saw
I
that.
Will say, though, I am looking forward to seeing how it develops.
Yes, definitely.
I'm not going to personally get it right now because I think 40 is a little steep for what it is offering me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like other people, you know, it's there's a lot of content for you, mm-hmm. but like I explained at length, not so much for me. Mm-hmm. And so maybe after, you know, a bunch of updates come out and we start to see its own personality kind of develop a little bit more, then maybe we can yeah. come back and kind of see how the game is. But right now I'm like, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. It's you know, from afar.
Yeah. yeah. It's pretty to look at in videos.
Yes. That's pretty much it.
I know it has, you know, big system requirements as well because of what it's running.
Yes.
And I was like, I made a joke with my friend, like, can I run this on my computer? I have a great computer. I'm not even going to lie. Go Lenovo, okay?
Yes.
My Lenovo is tight, okay?
Yes.
And honestly, when I first started running Sims, I was like, do-do-do-do-do-do. Right now, my Sims game is like a brick. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. And it's not my mods. It's because I decided to be cute. And I decided to get some expansion packs. And I'm sorry. Mm. I'm sorry. Like,
you run out of memory.
I don't know. Because like I said, my computer is nice. Hey, I got my 16 gigabyte DDR, whatever. Like, I'm good. Like,
nice.
My computer does good stuff. Okay. It's like, it's actually really, really, really strong. Like, I don't know how much, you know, custom content and mods and stuff that I literally have put on my computer and it doesn't do a thing. It's operating the game with the expansion packs that just slowed the game down. And I'm like, I think that is an EA issue. I need EA and I need Maxis to get on this and I need them to figure it out because I used to watch the videos with the creators and how they would talk about how, oh, you know, my game's really buggy today. Let me save because I'm doing a build video. I'm going to be on here for 3 hours. And if I lose my build, I will end the world.
Right.
I'll find a way. I will get a ray gun and we're all gone. Okay. And I wasn't having those problems. And I was just like, this is what happens when you play base game. You play base game and you don't really, like, I have other problems with base game because the game is broken, like I said. But then you're like, okay. And then you put expansion packs on top of it and you're like.
Yeah, just compounding certain issues.
Just the game, it barely works at this point. So anyway, I don't know. I'm like, can I put Inzoi on my computer? Will it be okay?
I don't even know. Like it is, you know, heavy duty. And yeah. I don't know if it's one of those things. I have to look at the the minimal specs.
Yeah, to kind of see at them, but I don't feel like I have the graphics card. I don't have the GPU.
That's
for
probably
that.
It. That's probably it. That's because, you know, it, especially with them trying to push as much content in it as possible. Yeah. The fact that there's no loading and everything, they're gonna want you to run it on something. I want to
really
say
high.
Somewhat comparable. They have, yeah. So the minimum is a RTX 2060. I think the recommended is a 3070. I have a 3070 Ti, so I could run it, but it's not something that if it's, we're getting to the point where the higher graphics cards are going to be needed for some of these.
Yeah.
Especially now with it being early access, because if there's any type of optimization issues, this is the time they're going to be ironing that stuff out. And so it might get to the point where, because Sims was like that too, where it wasn't super intensive, but we want as many people to play it as possible.
Yeah.
So the range increased over time once we got better at it. And so I think this is one of those things where potentially when they fully launch the game outside of early access, it'll have maybe a larger a range of people can play it based on the specs. But yeah, regardless, $40, no, I am good. I am good on that.
I don't have it either.
Yes, and that is our show for tonight. Shout out to everyone who's hung out with us and listened. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new episodes coming out. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or any of those other places, go ahead and subscribe and add us to our RSS feeds.
Yes.
So again, you can be up on all the new episodes. We have a bunch of stuff coming up. We're still going to be doing the deep dive, just waiting on a special guest. But we're going to be doing a deep dive into some of these anime, the classic anime shows and films. Yes. So, you know, you want to look out for that. Also, potential special guests coming up in the near future. Fingers crossed on that. We'll be talking a little bit more as we get closer to that time. And also, I noticed a few people that were listening really enjoyed us. Well, actually enjoyed Tess talking about The Sims. So... if you like that content, definitely come back, because we have some more stories to tell.
Yeah.
And potentially Tess might stream. I don't know just yet, but we'll see. Because
we'll
that's going to be hilarious. I will be there. Seated. Seated.
Sat.
Right?
We will. Like,
definitely. So definitely follow. Also, if you're on Twitter, if you're still at that place, Twitter. You can follow us at the Gamecast One. And if you're on Blue Sky, it's just the Gamecast, because no one is sitting on that name and not doing anything with it, like on Twitter. but definitely follow us there, again, to be up on all the new content.
Yep. That's it, y'all. Thank you for sitting with us and chilling with us. I hope you had your blankets and your pillows and were hanging out like me and the dog are. But that's it. Remember, don't be a dick.
Yes.
Be kind. Wash your hands. Wash your faces. Wash your butts. And that's it. Bye-bye.